mind getting out here a little earlier than that. So.
He says as I start recording.
Okay.
That's going out on the internet, Mickey, right there. That's a soundbite.
Okay.
Can I tweet that?
Sure. I don't care.
I asked more people Roundup. Can I tweet that?
If Trump can tweet some of the stuff he comes up with,
come on, right?
It's game on. So.
Well, and if he can win, you know, and have that, so it's the rules are changing. It would seem.
And well, they are. The rules of media are changing, and I don't quite agree with the man that the media is all dishonest. The mainstream media,
yeah.
Certainly, some of them have an anti. Trump agenda that riles the guy up, but the world is different now.
Yeah.
Sitting in front of, you know, I grew up in a time when you sat in front of the TV during the Vietnam War, and I was, as you know, I'm a pacifist, so that didn't fly with me.
Yeah.
But every night we'd watch Walter Cronkite at 6:30 p.m. I think we ate dinner at 6 and we're all in front of the family, in front of the TV at 6:30 watching Walter Cronkite show us what's happened with more of our boys being slaughtered in Vietnam for in a war that was unwinnable and we didn't even want or try to win.
Sounds familiar. It sounds vaguely familiar to me, you know.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff I've seen. Not quite the same experience watching on the TV, but the unwinnable and didn't want to be that.
Familiar. So, you know, the U.S. is now in about its eighth or ninth unwinnable war in a row, and I include things like the war on poverty and the war on drugs and Obama's war on capitalism and those sorts of things. But now that we have a capitalist in the White House, it's a different paradigm and a different game.
Yeah.
So, tell me about China.
Yeah.
And the bridge to nowhere.
Thanks, Mickey. There is talk out there in the media about the ghost cities of China and the bridge to nowhere. So, when you talk about the massive build-out in Chinese infrastructure and associated boost to metals and mining, it's something of a concern. My understanding is that it's not so obvious. One of the most interesting things I heard was second or third hand, and it was that a Chinese official who had said, "We have to build the whole city first." I'm sorry, you don't understand. We have to build the whole city first. If we do not build all of the infrastructure before the people get here, it will be chaos because there are so many people that we're trying
that we're forcing off the farm to relocate.
Right? So there's some aspects to that story that I don't exactly know.
I see.
And I don't necessarily believe or support or, you know, don't know the whole thing. But specifically in terms of the ghost cities, that seemed like a reasonable thing for a central planner to say.
If you're a central planner.
And I think the Chinese are pretty strong central planners
right,
at this point.
Right, and it makes all the sense in the world. I mean, you go to the satellite countries and the former Soviet Union, now called those countries around are called the Commonwealth of Independent States. Some of them are more independent than others, but you see the typical Soviet gray area rotting buildings that with central planning.
The brutalism, architecture.
Yeah, horrible places.
And so there are the issues, the fundamental issues around, you know, does planning work? You know, what about the market? The Austrians had some nice things to say about the value of price systems as an information tool and coordination. You know, there's a lot to be said there. So, in some sense, I can understand where the Chinese official may be coming from and thinking that they're doing the right thing, But, you know, they also run the risk of throwing a party and nobody shows up.
Well, they have lots of parties where no one shows up there. And it's been actually a couple of years since I've been in China. But the last time I was there, I went to Shandong province, which produces something on the order of 35% to 40% of China's gold every year. I was there to look at a gold mine, and we stayed in a huge, fancy hotel with a lobby, I swear, as big as the main lobby of Grand Central Station in New York, or something on the order of that. But this huge, fancy lobby.
Yeah.
And we were there in the late spring / early winter, and this big, cavernous, gorgeous lobby with very high ceilings, very ornate, polished marble floors and a whole shebang.
Yep.
And there was never anyone in this lobby. There would be a receptionist behind the desk on occasion.
Yep.
And there was no heat in the lobby.
Yeah.
And it was probably about temperature of 8 or 10 degrees. So to go in the lobby, you had to put on
cold.
Well, you didn't really have to put on your overcoat, but if you're going to sit there for a while, you probably wanted your overcoat on. So I think that's typical in China. Overbuild.
Yeah.
Here's another anecdote. So in 2005, I was working on a project in the far, far hinterlands of northwestern China.
Mm-hmm.
Our project was 1.5 kilometers from the Kyrgyzstan border at around 4,000 meters. I worked at 4,000 meters. I think the cap was at 3,400 meters. Not particularly high for me,
mm-hmm.
but pretty far north. And
you're in the mountains.
And I would stand up on the ridges and look out to the city of Kashgar.
Mm.
And Kashgar is considered, when Marco is on the Silk Road, when Marco Polo left the civilized world and crossed into the East,
really?
Or what was thought to be the end of the civilized war.
Yeah.
And it's surrounded by all these stands, and it's surrounded. Stan being countries,
yeah,
Kyrgyzstan,
yeah, yeah.
Tajikistan, yeah. Afghanistan, Pakistan. And you can stand, I could stand on the ridges, kind of at the top part I was looking, and I was surrounded by 7,000 meter peaks on three sides. To the south, to the west, and to the north, and to the east was a basin that went from 7,000 meter peaks, an internal closed basin, and it went to below sea level.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's one of those portions of the world but in the middle of all that was the city of Kashgar, a city of about 400,000 people, and with a gray layer of smog over it all the time, and one of the most pristine parts of the world. On a clear day, I could see K2, which is the second highest peak in the world. Most of the time, all those peaks are covered in clouds.
Yeah.
But anyway, so long story short, so as I was coming out of that camp after 4 or 5 weeks in the camp with no communication in those days, and we're driving down the interstate highway on this trek back down to Kashgar, where I took 4 or 5 planes to get back to New Mexico, a 69-hour trip, start to finish, with no bed in between other than a seat on a plane.
Yep.
But we're driving down this 4-lane interstate highway, not a car in sight for 100 kilometers or longer, and coming up on the other side, or on our side, our side, on the wrong side of the road, against traffic, are 4 guys riding camels.
Yeah.
And I go, this is infrastructure build out in China. And number one, why would anybody be on this interstate highway? It goes nowhere.
Yeah.
So
you've seen it.
I've seen it. I've got a picture of these guys riding their dromedary camels up the interstate highway going the wrong way.
God. On both sides of the road too, just to really block it off. That's a traffic jam out there.
Yeah.
That's what counts.
Yeah.
But that's 2005.
True.
How much, you know?
I haven't been back there.
That's the question.
That project got sold to the Chinese, as do all the good gold projects. There's one exit strategy as far as I'm concerned. If you explore, build, and operate mine in China, and sell to the Chinese.
Mm. Yeah. Well, in Canadian, there's some Canadian mines, big projects in BC that had some serious interest from some Chinese groups.
Well, absolutely.
I would hope that in the 10 years since, you know, that road's been used and valuable.
I don't really know
if
it's been used. I would dare say the gray cloud of smog from burning dirty coal still hangs over the city of Kashgar.
Yeah, I think that's probably.
But I haven't been back there in, 11 and a half years now or something like that. So I can't assess that. But it's a long way from nowhere in Kashgar, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And it's one of those cities in which the Chinese, it's an autonomous region in Xinjiang province.
Yeah.
So during that period of time, I mean, the indigenous people, you will see every color, facial characteristics, stature of a whole melting pot of people from Asia there. It's kind of an international crossroads and remains. But at the time it was, the indigenous people were mainly Mongols and Uyghurs. And there was a concerted effort by the Chinese government, because it is an autonomous region, and there is a rebellious attitude by both the Uyghurs and the Mongols, especially the Uyghurs. They had a very dedicated program of moving Han Chinese into that part of the world. And that was very much resented.
That's social. So, there's economic planning, and then there's social planning. Isn't that?
And that's a lot of what the Chinese do. I mean, that's what they're doing with their ghost cities, and it's a concerted effort to move people from a subsistent farming lifestyle into cities.
Yeah. So
be what it may.
Any plans to go back?
I have no plans to go back to China at this stage, but you know, if I'm presented with the right opportunity, I don't hesitate to go back. I have to go get my visa again, my Chinese visa, but in Vancouver that takes all of a day, so not that hard to do.
How many times? How long have you been going to China?
I first went to China in 1996,
something like that, eh?
And I was amazed in Beijing. Now, the number of times I've been there, and it's just in and out of Beijing.
Yeah.
It's a crossroads at night in Beijing, coming and going, sometimes not even that. But I've never seen the sunshine in Beijing. Since 1996, and when I was there in 1996, everybody rode bicycles. When I was there in 2005, there's cars all over the world, all over the road. And when I was there in 2013 or 2014, there were lots of traffic jams. So.
Well, yeah, and some of these stories of day-long, multiple-day, whatever,
China,
I don't know.
Not my favorite place.